More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, speak up. Is your silence making you sick? We're going to help you find your voice and lead healthier lives and relationships. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, our show is titled Speak Up, as we look at the question of, is your silence making you sick? And how do you find your voice and get comfortable expressing your needs and actually getting people to take those needs seriously when you do express them?
Say it isn't so. Really? Really? That can happen even for mothers?
What?
Shocking.
No, moms aren't. I'm sorry. I meant anybody except moms.
Everybody except
moms. Aren't allowed to express their needs. What are you talking about?
Or certainly not have everybody like cooperate with.
Yeah, exactly. Now, do you have a hard time telling other people what your needs are in the first place? Or maybe you're fine saying, hey, look, I could really use some help with this, or I really need that. But then everybody just sort of stares at you blankly and then goes off and does their own thing, and you're wondering, did they hear me? Do they care?
Do they care? Do they just disrespect me so much that they don't follow through on anything? And then what do you do with that? Do you start to scream and yell? Do you just swallow it and not say a word and silence yourself again?
Do you feel like a nag?
Exactly.
That would be another example of the struggle to find your voice, right? Because, you know, you said your needs once, maybe twice. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, do I keep saying it? I mean, you know, now at what point do I become, quote unquote, a nag or selfish or, you know, obnoxious or worse, right?
And certainly that happens a lot with temporal things in our lives. But we know a lot of people who listen to the show who deal with that question when it comes to the spiritual lives of their loved ones. You know, how much do I nag my kids to get up and go to church on a Sunday morning? How much do I push my spouse to be involved in the prayer life in our home? How much do I do any of this?
How much do I nag the people in my life?
Okay.
The one... Sorry.
Okay. But what do you do? It's something that really does sort of hang over so many of us, and we wonder, am I working for the good of God and others in my life, or am I actually sort of pushing people away from God with my words and what I need and what I tell them? And it becomes a bigger struggle for those of us who have a faith life than it is even for, you know, the average run-of-the-mill person who's just trying to get through the day.
So let's talk it out. If you're having a hard time finding your voice or getting other people to listen to it, we want to help you speak up in ways that actually get your needs met at 877-573-7825. That's the number, 877-573-7825. So one of the things that inspired today's show was a study that came out of the University of Pittsburgh that was looking at how, the title of the article is, Self-Silencing Women May See Increased Risk of Stroke. I'm going to let that settle in.
Let's sit for a minute.
Okay, let's say, self-silencing women may see increased risk of stroke. This was a study that was done from the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Pittsburgh. And what they showed was that women who do not speak up for themselves, a practice that psychiatrists refer to as self-silencing, have increased carotid plaque buildup, which can lead to stroke or other cardiovascular problems. So what they're saying is, not speaking up about our needs actually affects our arterial health.
Think about that for just a minute.
So, I mean, we all know that smoking or eating fatty foods.
I was going to say, so like, if you are depriving yourself of butter, if you are depriving yourself of lots of foods, if you are exercising, you know, 4 hours a day, all to try to keep your arterial health going, but you are self-silencing about your needs, you could be doing yourself a great disservice and working hard in a lot of areas, but undermining everything else by self-silencing. Yes. That's amazing.
So the study looked at 304 non-smoking women and tested whether self-silencing was associated with carotid arteriosclerosis. They found that greater self-silencing was related to increased odds of plaque buildup that was independent of sociodemographic, cardiovascular disease risk factors, and depression. So even if the people were at low risk for cardiovascular disease because they ate well, didn't smoke, didn't drink, exercise, those sorts of things, women who self-silenced were at much greater risk for plaque buildup in their carotid arteries, which of course led to greater risk of stroke and other cardiovascular problems. Now, that's horrifying enough in itself, right?
But the
reason that I'm bringing it up on this show is because we talk about the theology of the body on this program all the time. And one of the basic underlying assumptions of the theology of the body is that God's plan for our life and relationships can be, at least in large part, identified by prayerfully reflecting on the way God designed our bodies to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because God made us in his image, and his fingerprints are all over his creation. And as we study the body and understand the body, there's a saying, biology is theology. Right, in the theology of the body community. The idea that there's something that God is telling us through our bodies about what it means to lead a godly and healthy life. Now, a lot of Christians really think that sharing our needs is somehow not Christian, that it's selfish to have needs or communicate those needs, or worse, expect that those needs would be met. But then if that's what we think, how do we make sense out of studies like this that clearly show that God designed our bodies to respond well when we articulate our needs and not well when we don't articulate our needs? Well, what the theology of the body would say about that is that that God has given us our needs, right? And that we have a right to expect that those needs would be met. Now, the difference between saying, sort of being upfront with our needs and being selfish is that a selfish person doesn't just articulate their needs, they demand that their needs be met in a specific way and at a specific time, and I don't care what you need too.
Exactly, often to the detriment of everyone else.
Right. But that's different from the kind of relationship that the theology of the body argues for, which is a mutually self-donative relationship. And what that means is that a relationship is only godly and healthy when all the people in those relationships are committed to speaking their needs, meeting their needs, being generous about how those needs are met, so that everybody in the relationship gets their needs met. So it's not a question of, do you get your needs met or do I get my needs met? It's how can we work together to create a plan and create the sort of relationship that makes sure that we're all working together to get what we need.
Well, and I think that a lot of people right now are saying to their radio, or at least inside their head, oh, that's great in a perfect world, Pop Checks, but you don't know my selfish so-and-so of a brother or spouse or kid or boss and that could never possibly work. So I have to default to self-silencing to keep my job, to save my marriage, to not drive away my adult child, to survive Thanksgiving dinner next month. Whatever that is, we often go to self-silencing as a survival technique.
Sure.
As a way to try to not blow up a relationship, or even as a form of what we think of as spirituality. And I know where we live in Ohio, we share our local land area with a large, large, large group of people who belong to different forms of the Anabaptist church. So Mennonites and Amish and all that kind of stuff. They are wonderful, wonderful people. But one of those friends of ours once signed me up for a women's magazine that was part of their particular Mennonite community. I loved all the recipes, I loved all of the housekeeping tips, but they had this little section every month when it came that was advice from one, you know, elder woman in the church to other, you know, other women in the church. And often it was situations with marriage where the women were really in almost abusive situations, and the advice was always be quiet and offer it up. That's your role. And there is that understanding in certain denominations or even certain other religions that has sort of filtered into Catholicism, I think. And some women do really think that to be a good Christian woman, we have to be quiet and just suffer.
Yeah, and that's really not the case. You know, there is, of course, we do have to pick our battles. And of course, there's a way to express our needs that makes sure that we're respectful of the needs of those around us. It's not about, you know, sort of being so selfish that all, you know, your needs are the only needs that matter. And so, you know, working this out in actual real life can be complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that you don't have a right to have your needs met. And in fact, when you look at studies like this, it's pretty darn clear that the theology of the body would say that we need to communicate our needs, that God has given us the needs that we have, and it is only by fulfilling those needs that we are able to thrive and live the life that he's given to us. Now, how do we do that in a manner that's still respectful of the needs of those around us?
And also respectful of the rest of our health, because we've also learned that if you're yelling and screaming and giving into rage, that's not very healthy either.
Exactly.
And there's a different way to do that. There is a beautiful, holy place in between self-silencing and screaming and raging. There's a holy place in between that. If you're wondering what the heck that is,
look like, yeah.
We're here to help you with it today.
877-573-7825. Our show is titled Speak Up, and we're looking at how do we express needs in a way that's respectful, both of ourselves and others. If you're having a hard time letting others what your needs are in the first place, or knowing how to articulate your needs without feeling selfish about it, give us a call. If you are struggling to get other people to take your needs seriously when you do communicate them, let's talk it out. Or if you're not sure how to make any of this work, we want to help you find a way forward at 877-573-7825. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope Saint, Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we ask you for your grace and blessing on our lives, that we would help each other meet all of our needs and be able to articulate those needs in ways that glorify you and allow us to be sensitive and open to others as well. Help us to not be afraid of our needs, and help us to work together to create a community of love that is rooted in meeting each other's needs. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
We're taking your calls about speaking up today. Are you having a hard time meeting your needs, telling others what your needs are, or getting them to take you seriously? Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Brianna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Brianna. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I have a situation where it's kind of, you know, bubbled over and reached it's been in its boiling point for a long time. I was in a relationship, and we became pregnant out of wedlock, and that relationship, he wanted to get married right away, and I wasn't ready for that. I wanted to make sure, you know, that we weren't getting in over our heads even more so. So time went by, and our relationship went this way and that. And then we ended up having another child. So now we've reached the point where, we are no longer together. We did talk about counseling, but the whole point is I've wanted this to work, and I wanted to get to the point where, I felt like I could stand up in front of the Lord and say, yes, I want to be committed to you. But I never felt like he listened to what I was saying. And this whole time I've been told I'm too fair, and that I'm not listening to myself, and I'm not sticking up for myself, and that I'm thinking of him the whole time. And I see that, I just don't know how to. I've stuck up for myself, and now I'm kind of trying to stick up for myself and my children and what I feel like I need to be for them. It's just when you're told, when you do stick up for your needs, that you're a dictator, we only do what you say, and when
who's,
I know that's not
the,
true.
Who's saying that? The father of your children is saying that? Or who?
Not the all the thing. Time, but, you know, that those comments have stuck out, you know.
All right, so give me an example of something that you're sticking up for yourself for. Just going to walk me through an example, maybe.
If ever we disagree, so in situations where, you know, I didn't back him up, or where I don't want to do something that he wants to do.
For instance?
A situation. I don't know. A long time ago, we were chasing, somebody tried to tow our car, and he wanted a friend's car, and he wanted to chase this tow truck. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do this. This is crazy. We shouldn't keep doing this. And he's like, this is $160. But I really didn't want to do that anymore. So I was like, well, you can stay and do this, but I'm going to go. And this was a huge fight. I didn't support him. And, you know, how would I feel if the roles were changed, which he always takes my words and speaks them back to me, where it's like, mm-hmm. Well, I've said that, but in a different situation. So it's just in situations.
Yeah, I mean, so chasing a tow truck is crazy. I mean, that doesn't make
you
any sense.
You can chase
sense.
It from now to doomsday. They're not giving you back your car until you pay for
yeah,
it. You
so,
know,
I mean,
it's not happening.
That doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, you're on solid ground there. Now,
yeah, and he was obviously in an elevated, heightened emotional state and wanted you to join him in it. And when you didn't, he threw another little temper tantrum and blamed you. And I get the feeling he does this a fair bit, and that you're kind of used to trying to please him a lot, which I'm going to guess has at least a particle of why you have two children without being married to him. That you are trying to please him, and you are trying to make it work, and you're trying to get the relationship you want to eventually become holy through a back door, instead of really knowing who you are, what you want, and being able to stand for it. Somewhere along the line, you've been taught that you need to kind of wheedle and cajole your way to get what you want, rather than just know and stand up.
Well, and I know that you're separated now, but of course, because he's the father of your children, he's going to be in your life for a while, so for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge is going to be, you know, how do you continue to know that you have the right to set these kinds of limits? I'll just offer you two thoughts here, and then we got to go to break. The first one is that it's good to try to not polarize things. When somebody says, I need this, instead of arguing back and forth about whether they should need that or not, you know, to be able to resist the temptation to polarize the discussion. What that looks like in practice is to be able to sort of step back and say, what's good about their position, and then suggest alternative ways to meet it. So, for example, with this ridiculous tow truck example, you know, to be able to say, look, I understand that you don't want to have to pay this fine. There are lots of other ways that we could address this. We could fight it in court. We could, I don't know. You propose alternatives, right? I understand that you're upset and that you don't want to have to deal with this issue. Here are two other ways that we could handle that. You know, chasing the tow truck is not one of them. So there you're going to make a distinction between the what and the how and the when. You know, the what being, I'm worried about the $150. The how and the when is, do we chase the tow truck or do we find other ways that might be even more effective to address the concern about the fine? Do you see what I'm saying? So by addressing the what, you have the right to negotiate the how and the when, if that makes sense to you. So you identify what it is the person's really concerned about, and you affirm that he was concerned about the $150. And you can affirm that. But then you say there are other ways to address this besides this one how or when you want to achieve that. As long as you're doing that, as long as you're not negotiating the what, but rather the how and the when, you're on solid ground in terms of negotiating. You're not being a dictator. You're being reasonable. That said, what's going to muddy the waters for you is, Lisa was kind of pointing to this, that you have what we would call in the psych biz, an anxious attachment style, where you're going to tend to believe that it's your fault for relationships not being what they're meant to be.
Yeah, and people are going to play on that.
Yeah, so you're going to need to really look hard at that. I'm going to suggest to you a book by Tim Clinton called Attachments, which really is going to explore this whole idea a lot more and give you some good ideas for how to move forward with it. But, you know, the first thing that you want to keep in mind is exactly what I said, you know, that as long as you're willing to negotiate the how and the when, but not the what, then you're good, all right? But people are going to play on that tendency for you to assume that it's your fault, that a relationship isn't what it's meant to be. So you need to look at shoring that anxious attachment style up. Tim Clinton's book, Attachments, could be really helpful in that regard, as well as some good counseling to help you start to overcome that tendency to take on a little bit more responsibility than you should. Thanks for the call, Brianna. If there's more we can do to support you, though, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Damon Owens of JoyTOB.org. He's going to be sharing with us about, well, why it's okay to articulate our needs in relationships. He'll be talking about that. Plus, we'll be taking your calls about your own struggles of letting your voice be heard and being taken seriously when you do speak up. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at VisitingAngels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Joining us right now, Damon Owens of JoyTOB.org is here to share with us why expressing our needs in relationships is actually a good thing for a Christian. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, Dr. Greg and Lisa, good to be with you guys.
Well, it's great to have you with us. So, you know, we've been talking about the need to speak up and to be honest about our needs, but I think that a lot of Christians have the idea that that's somehow selfish. What does the theology of the body teach us about the way to speak up, or, well, why we have the right to speak our needs in the first place, and how to do it?
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for this topic. This is something very personal to me that's been such a healing balm in my own personal life and in my ministry work, and honestly, you guys have played a key role in that. And I think if I can offer anything for the show today, it would be that. It would be the roots of that. There's so many ideas out there. There's so many anthropologies, what it means to be a person. There's so many philosophies and even therapies. And I think rooting that in the theology of the body prayerfully give your listeners some peace that what you're speaking of in terms of the hows and the whats is rooted very deeply in the truth of what it means to be a human person, because it's rooted very deeply in a right understanding of love. And it was a pivotal moment for me to recognize expressing my needs, whether or not I believed in my heart that someone else could fulfill them or was willing or capable. Expressing my needs is an act of love. In other words, allowing someone to love us by being very clear about what it is and how we receive and what is it we need is an act of love in and of itself. John Paul II would put that under the category of an active receptivity. In other words, receiving something in a very giving way. And by opening ourselves, and it's vulnerable, and it's difficult, and it's unique, based on our own family of origin, based on our wounds and our relationships and where we are, male, female, and age, very many things. But the reason, the root of it is that it's rooted in an act of love, that even giving someone the opportunity to fulfill our needs is in and of itself an expression of love. And that, for me, was pivotal in being able to come to somewhat of a healing.
Yeah, it's a really powerful insight. And, of course, it gets complicated when other people maybe have needs that seem to conflict with ours, or when other people kind of roll their eyes whenever we tell them what our needs are. But I think that you know, obviously we need to be sensitive to other people's needs and you know, not bully other people with our needs. But that's a separate issue from letting our needs be known in the first place. And I'm glad that you were able to really point that out.
The book you recommended, I want to second, the book on attachments. Again, a very beautiful way of recognizing in our own hearts whether we believe we're willing to be loved for who we are and whether others are willing and capable of fulfilling our needs. That's kind of a home base to recognize that regardless of the person's reaction, you allowing people not only in that moment to fulfill our needs, but there's a progression of love. And in that progression, it allows people to learn about who we are in a very unique way, and then, and God willing, in the future, anticipate our needs, which is, again, another level of love that we allow people to shower on us.
Powerful insights. Damon, thank you so much for joining us today. Always a pleasure to talk with you. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work promoting marriage and family life, they should go to joytob.org. That's joytob.org. Folks, we are taking your calls about speaking up and articulating your needs in the first place and getting others to take your needs seriously without feeling selfish about it. Give us a call. We'll talk it out.
What are the three major sins against the first commandment? The Catholic Catechism lists them as tempting God, sacrilege, and simony. How can we tempt God? By putting his goodness and almighty power to the test. By word or deed, as Satan dared to do when he commanded Jesus throw himself down from the temple. He was trying to force God to act. Jesus rebuked the devil with God's word, "You shall not put the Lord thy God to the test." The sin of sacrilege profanes sacraments and other liturgical actions, as well as persons, things, or places consecrated to God. It is particularly grave when committed against the Eucharistic Jesus. Simony is the sin of buying and selling of spiritual things. It's named after Simon the magician, who attempted to purchase spiritual power from St. Peter. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Pope Francis has said that there are too many children who are orphans within the family, that parents, especially fathers, need to take more time with their children. In today's culture, families can be little more than collections of individuals living under the same roof and sharing a data plan. Marriage and family don't just happen because you occupy the same space, and it has to be more than just what happens in the 5 minutes between all the other activities that keep us busy. Husbands and wives, parents and children need to make a specific, concerted effort to create what I call rituals of connection. These are regularly scheduled times to work, play, talk, and pray together.
Pope Francis is asking Catholic families to examine what it really means to be a family and put in the work necessary to achieve that. For more information on Catholic family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Speak Up. As we look at the challenge I think we all face in knowing when it's okay to express our needs, expressing our needs, getting other people to take us seriously once we've articulated those needs. We began with a study that looked at how self-silencing women, as the study called them, are at greater risk for stroke and plaque buildup in their arteries. But you know what? I don't think it's just a woman thing. I think I know a lot of men who struggle with articulating their needs effectively. You know, as men, we get the message that either we bully other people with our needs and kind of tantrum about it, or we don't say anything at all and do the whole kind of yes dear thing.
I grew up with many, many, many men in my mother's social circle who were very much like this. And I guess one of the questions that we should be asking today on More to Life is, you know, not just are you a woman dealing with this, but are you a man who has, as Damon Owens from Joy to Be Ministries was saying, he dealt with this. He had to learn how to heal from what he was told as a child in order to be able to articulate his needs in a way that was healthy for his wife and for his children.
Or maybe you're a person who's in a relationship with somebody who isn't able to articulate their needs. You ask them, what do you think about this? Or what would you like to do about that? Or how would you like to handle thus and such? Or what would you like to do this weekend? And they're like, oh, I don't know, whatever you want. And you don't know how to get them to invest.
Yeah.
Or whatever you decide is fine with me, I don't care. You know, and you just can't get them to show up by expressing their needs.
Well, and for a lot of us, we don't realize that that's a problem.
Yeah.
So first of all, if you're raising a kid like that, and you think, this is the best kid in the world,
they never
it's
have
so
any needs.
Easygoing, they just go along with everything, you got to stop that now and help them figure that out, because it's not going to play out well in their adulthood, and you don't want them going along with just everything that anybody asks them to do. Use your imagination on that one. But also, if you have a spouse, you know, somebody you're in a love relationship with who's that easygoing, it's just like, sure, yeah, whatever. Yeah, we can do that. Take a pause on that, because often when an adult lives like that, it ends up manifesting itself in depression and frustration later on.
Well,
and one day they just go, well, you just had everything your way, and I never had anything my way. Bye.
That's
and
actually
out the
you know,
door.
What you're describing is actually a lot of the precursor to infidelity, too,
mm-hmm.
because people who don't know how to articulate their needs, express their emotions, even deal effectively with conflict, they repress a lot of things,
yeah.
right? And their spouse thinks, oh, my spouse is perfectly happy, then 20 years old, they're having an affair. I didn't even see it coming. Where did this come from? And they're like, well, you know, you always got your way for the last 20 years. Well, you never said anything. Well, yes, I did, but you didn't listen. You know,
maybe
and
in their head they did, but not out loud. And so as we talk about this today on More to Life, we're seeing that self-silencing can lead to physical illness, but it can also lead to emotional unwellness, where you're really dealing with much greater issues because you haven't dealt with the small stuff. So if you are dealing with that, either inside of yourself or inside of somebody you're in relationship with, we're here to answer those questions and help you with those issues today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well,
and right now we're talking with Pam, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Louisiana.
Hi there, Pam. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, like I told the lady that answered, I had to use my husband's phone because mine was being repaired. And I was just curious looking at the games that he plays once in a while. And I saw that he plays the words game. I'm not familiar with all those games, but with my daughters. And I also saw two unfamiliar ladies' names. And I saw that you can just choose random people to play with, which I guess is what he did. But it bothers me. And I'm just holding it in. I prayed about it and said, is this really something to make a big being a big deal about. Maybe I should just stay quiet, but it's really bothering me, and I'm just keeping it in.
Well, you know, I guess a good rule of thumb here is if something is bothering you or Pam or any other listener,
yeah.
It's better to say something about it than not. The question isn't do you say something. The question is how do you say it?
Because you're actually not remaining silent. He doesn't know, but you're fighting with him in your head.
Yeah.
If you are like any other wife who would trip over that and not say it out loud, you've got all sorts of things going on in your head. Who are these women? How much do they talk about? Has he ever met them? Why didn't he tell me? And on and on and on. And the more we silence ourselves, the worse that gets. And that's the stuff that leads to what we were talking about, either relationship destruction or physical health destruction. It's a little like if you took the old, grammar school science experiment, right, where you mix baking soda and vinegar and you shake it and it's supposed to explode like a volcano. If you put a cork in that, it's going to be a mess. It's going to blow that cork off. And you need to be able to vent things in a way that's healthy and productive instead of total silence or explosion.
So, building on what Lisa just said, Pope St. Gregory the Great had a terrific quote. He said, "Thoughts seethe all the more when corralled by the violent guard of an indiscreet silence." I'm going to say that again. "Thoughts seethe all the more when corralled by the violent guard of an indiscreet silence." In other words, what he's saying is, look, if there's something that's eating at you, and you can't just let it go, then you need to say something. It's the question of how do you say it, right? So Pam, what I would suggest you say to your husband is, honey, I was looking at your phone because I had to use it for something or whatever, and I noticed that you're playing this game with these ladies, and honestly, I'm a little jealous about that. I would prefer that you didn't. I'd be happy to learn to play the game with you, but it bothers me that you're in communication with these other, who are these people, and regardless of who they are, I would rather you not be playing with them. Now, if he gets upset about that, that's he's allowed to have his feelings about it, but you're also allowed to keep saying, "No, I'm sorry, it does bother me."
But do you see that the way Greg came at this? It's not, "Who are these women and are you cheating on me and what do you think?" Which will automatically put whoever you are speaking to in a place of defensiveness. Even if they have not done anything that is morally wrong, they're immediately going to say, "Who are you to accuse me? You don't trust me." You're not going to get anywhere with what we'd call a hard open or an attack on somebody saying, "You must be doing something wrong," because we've put that cork in that bottle for so long that all of our worst case scenarios come flying out of our mouths. It won't get you anywhere. But if you approach it the way Greg's talking about, you have a chance to really talk it through and make your needs known.
Now, one last point I'm going to make on this before we let you go, Pam. We get this question a lot when people call up, or I get clients who say, "I don't know if my husband is cheating on me or my spouse is cheating on me. I have concerns about this relationship, but I don't know." I mean, it's not to that level with you, Pam, but it speaks to the insecurity that you're feeling, okay? And that's what I'm trying to address here. The problem isn't really, how do I find out whether my husband's being inappropriate or not? The problem is you feel insecure in the relationship. Okay, and that's what you need to address, ultimately. So yes, step one, talk to your husband about the fact that he's playing these online games with whoever. But then I think you need to follow it up with a conversation that says, I would like to feel a little closer and more secure with each other so that I just feel more connected to you in general. What can we do to get our relationship to a better and stronger place? And to that end, I'm going to encourage you to check out How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. It's a book that really looks at the 8 habits that healthy couples practice in their relationships and really helps any couple cultivate those habits so that they can feel as connected and close and strong in their relationship as they'd like to. Because, regardless of whether your husband is ultimately doing something inappropriate or not, what you're saying is, "I don't feel as secure and connected and strong in this relationship with him as I'd like to. And the lines of communication between us aren't as open as they need to be." So, yes, by all means, go ahead and address this in the way I suggested to you, but then follow it up with, "But we also need to work on the relationship to make it a little bit stronger and more open and closer than it's been." How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. We'll offer additional suggestions to make that happen. Lots of exercises in there. If you need more help beyond that, don't hesitate to reach out to us again here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. 877-573-7825. We are talking with you today about dealing with your needs, speaking up, getting your voice out there, help getting other people to take your needs seriously when you do articulate them. Or for that matter, if you're in a relationship with somebody who never tells you what they need, and it's driving you crazy, we want to help you with that too. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Jane, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Hi, Jane, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. What's going on?
You described my husband. I've been married to him for 23 years, and he can't express his needs. At first, he would say something like, I'm happy. Aren't you happy? And then I felt guilty. I thought, oh, my gosh, he's happy. Why am I not happy? What's wrong with me?
So,
after a number of years of that, you know, then I said, well, actually, no, I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. But he can't express his needs.
So give me an example of something that you'd like him to express a need or an opinion about, and what happens? How does that conversation play out?
With regard to, say, decisions that need to be made about the children,
mm-hmm.
You'll say, hey, this is going on with the kids. We need to make this decision or that, you know, this basketball team or not or what have you. And he'll say, well, I don't know. You know, and then I'll kind of give him some more details or information about, you know, surrounding the choice that needs to be made, thinking maybe he needs more information. And then he'll say, well, I've never thought about that. And I said, okay, well, do you need a couple days? Yeah, sure. I'll get back to you on that. So a couple days later, I'll ask him, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And he's like, oh, I forgot to think about that. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the deadline for the basketball team or whatever, you know, is looming. And so I have to make the decision by myself.
Yeah, and that, okay, so we did a show on exactly this a couple of weeks ago. It was probably one of the shows that we got the most feedback on, in months. I don't remember the last time.
Isn't that interesting?
So what I'd like, I'm going to recommend the podcast to you. It was our show titled Emotional Labor. If you go on the AveMariaRadio.net website and look back through the archives, you'll see a show on emotional labor. But I'll hit the high points now. But I think it'd
give you a lot more examples, and a lot of people working through this might spark some more ideas.
In fact,
for you.
I would encourage you to sit down with your husband and listen to the show on emotional labor. Again, you'll find it on the podcast page at AveMariaRadio.net. So here, for folks who maybe missed that, emotional labor. Let me put it this: doing the actual task or making the actual decision is like 1/10 of the job. Like 9/10 of the job, right? Okay, well, 9/10 of the job.
Wow, listen to that. She's like right in there with you. You've hit the nail on the head.
So like, you know, washing the dishes or making the decision or doing the thing, that's like 10% of the job. The other 90% of the job is figuring out the time to make the decision, gathering the resources you need to make the decision,
figuring out all of the ramifications of that decision so you don't step in it,
figuring out who's going to do what and when is it going to get done by, and all that's like 90% of the job. So a lot of people, guys especially, kind of fall into this place where I'm doing everything she says, I do everything she wants, why isn't she happy? I'm just so supportive, I never say anything. Well, what you're doing is you're offloading 90% of the work to your wife, you're showing up for the 10%, and then patting yourself on the back. And the 90% of the job is the emotional labor that goes to getting the thing done. And so why you're not happy is because even though he's, you know, superficially giving you everything you want, he's also giving you 90% of the work to get it and then patting himself on the back for showing up at the last second to either, you know, enjoy the benefits of it or even, you know, okay, do the last thing that needs to be done.
Which also comes into his statement of earlier, I'm happy, why aren't you happy? Because
right.
He's showing up for those last things. He thinks he has his bases covered and his check marks checked off on his to-do list. And you've just slogged through all the emotional work.
And on that show on emotional labor that we did a couple of weeks ago, we referenced an article. It was just a magazine article of this woman who was talking about how, you know, she feels guilty because, you know, she'll ask for help and her husband will actually do the dishes or her husband will actually do the thing she asked. But then she still feels dissatisfied and she couldn't figure out why until she hit on this idea of emotional labor where she realized it wasn't just that he was, you know, doing the dishes that was the issue. It was, you you know, she was the one who had to always identify that the dishes needed to be done and that she couldn't be the one to do it that day, and then go find him and ask him and then follow up to make sure that it happened. You know, so again, 10% of the job was doing the dishes. 90% of it was all the other stuff that went around it, and it was all up to her all the time to keep track of all that stuff. So I would suggest, Jane, that you talk with your husband about this idea of emotional labor. And if you need to drive the point home, I'd like you to pick out two or three of the biggest decisions that you've had to make, or the biggest jobs that have happened that you've had to make, you know, happen. And I'd like you to get a package of index cards. And I want you to write down all the steps that go into handling that job or handling that task or making that decision on a separate index card. So, like, you know, if it's, you said something about deciding whether the kids should be in basketball, write down on each individual card the 10 or 20 or whatever steps that go into making that decision. One of the cards should be making the decision, but then all the other cards. Then hand him the deck of cards, and actually hand him the one card that says making the decision, and then you hold on to the other cards, okay? And you say, this is what you've given me to do, and this is the part of the job that you're taking on.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Do that with two or three of the other jobs as well. So what's going to happen is you're going to end up with a stack of 40 cards in your hand. He's going to have four, okay? Just to drive home the point that, look, this is, I'm not happy because this is all the work that you're giving me to do, and you're taking this one card. Okay, so that's a physical way of driving home this point of emotional labor.
It's such a great exercise, and it does two things, I think. A, it really shows your husband the emotional labor that you put into all of this. But I think it's also going to really illustrate for you, as you go through the exercise, what is it you need? Because you said early on in your question, he says, are you happy? And you say, no, I'm not happy. And the conversation ends. There's never, from what you've said in a couple of minutes of your call, never been a place where you've said, but this is what I need to be happy. You've never taken those steps to really puzzle it out and figure it out and figure out the whys and the hows of doing this.
I think this will give you that way.
Exactly. I think this will really help clarify a lot of that for you so that you can both begin to be a lot happier.
All right. So you can take the suggestions that we made here on the program and I think run with it. I'd encourage you to follow up with the podcast and the show we did on emotional labor a couple of weeks ago. If you need more help beyond that, then go ahead and reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll get you the rest of the way. But you're not crazy, Jane. This is what you're dealing with. It tears up more marriages than anything, because it's just so hard to communicate the fact that, you know, just making the decision or doing the job is just like tiniest part of actually the job. So this emotional labor thing is really important. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking about articulating your needs, you know, and getting your voice heard whenever you do express those needs. How can you do that in a way that is effective but doesn't make you feel selfish? How can you get the people around you to articulate their needs so that you know how to be a partner with them and they can partner more effectively with you? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I told him about the woman who came to me and said her two children hadn't spoken to each other for 2 years. Their grandma died and she was very wealthy. She left half to each one. She said they're arguing over a commode. She said it's inlaid. Can you imagine being in hell and somebody saying to you, what are you here for?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Catholic faith has enemies. We're Catholics. We have enemies. They are a danger to the faith. And yet we're called to defend the faith, to instruct the ignorant, and to love our enemies. These enemies abuse divine revelation. They abuse science and religion. They abuse our history and our past. They abuse power and wealth We have to learn how to deal with our enemies by picking up a copy of my book, Dangers to the Faith. You can find it online at AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about speaking up and how we can get our needs met and articulate those needs in the first place. Let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's on deck now?
We're talking with Lindsay, who's listening to EWTN Radio in West Virginia.
Hey, Lindsay, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I was just listening to the last caller, and you were talking about how she should talk to her husband and say, you know, this is all the work that I'm putting in. But I feel like when I go to talk to my husband about those things, he gets upset and kind of feels attacked, like I'm saying something bad about him, and our arguments always go to that place.
Give me an example of how you might approach, like what might an issue be and how you might approach it.
Well, just thinking about what you said to the last caller, like if you got some index cards and I, you know, wrote down everything that I did and handed him the one, he would feel like I was telling him he didn't do enough when he feels like he's trying so hard. And then if he feels like I'm just pushing him down, telling him all the stuff that he doesn't do.
Okay. So what you're dealing with there is something that's a little bit of a different issue. It's in the marriage therapy business, it's called accepting influence. Okay. The idea that I need to be able to sort of suspend my own opinion of myself, or even my own ideas, and really try to hear the goodness, the truth, and the beauty, even in the things that my partner is saying to me, even when I don't see it the same way. And when your husband kind of struggles with that, you know, that becomes a problem, because what happens is you don't feel heard. You know, you're telling him what you need, but what he's ultimately saying is, look, I'm only going to respond to what I feel I have that I have the right to respond to. I'm only going to deal with what I feel is legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
He throws the conversation off track by making it about his feelings at that point. The best thing that you can do whenever he says, look, you're just telling me all the things I'm not doing, you're making me feel bad about myself and blah, blah, blah. You're saying, you know, honey, I'm sorry that you feel that way. This isn't really about you. This is about me saying to you, I need your help with these things. You can either choose to help me with those things, or you can not choose to help me with those things. But if you don't, then you need to understand that I'm not going to feel loved. And what I'm hearing is you don't care about me.
Yeah. And also part of me expressing this is also trying to make your life easier, because you may be working harder. You know, you may be working hard, but you're not working smart. You're not listening to my needs. And I'm trying to show you how to be able to work in this relationship in a way that works for both of us.
Right. But be careful not to get sucked into trying to help him, quote unquote, feel better about him, because this is not about him.
True.
This thing that he says to you, you're making me feel bad. You're not. It's a distraction. What he's really saying is, I don't want to do that stuff, right?
And so you're asking me to leave my comfort zone, and I'd rather have a temper tantrum.
I don't want to talk about doing that stuff. I want to talk about how you made me feel bad. Okay, don't get sucked into that. Is what I'm trying to say here. You know, don't. It's not about that. You know, you can acknowledge it. You can say, I'm really sorry you took it that way. Sorry you feel that way about it. That's not what I'm saying, and this isn't really about you. This is about the fact that I need this help from you, and what I'm hearing back from you is, go pound salt, honey, I don't really care. And that really hurts my feelings. And I would really like to know that I had a husband I could count on and come to and say, I need this, and you would help me. So do you want to do that, or do we need to go get some counseling to figure out how to work through this stuff? Okay, because that's the next step. If he's not willing to hear what you're saying, and if every time you come to him with that, what you're really indicating here is that there's a counseling issue here, because this is just going to get worse and worse and worse as time goes by, as you feel lonelier and lonelier in the relationship, and let him off the hook because it's just too exhausting to talk to him about anything. That's not going to bear good fruit long term. So go through with the suggestions that we're making here on the program. How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love will offer some additional suggestions on this idea about how to approach these problems. But if you're not able to get the change you're looking for just with these recommendations, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com and we'll get you hooked up with a good counselor that can get you the rest of the way. Thanks so much for the call. And folks, if you need more resources in learning how to speak up in ways that are effective and graceful, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn about all the resources you mentioned on today's program, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, and get out there and celebrate the life that God has for you.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.